Leaders who achieve are leaders who follow through. You don't want to follow someone who just can't get there. Some destinations take longer than others. Are there roadblocks? Yes. But the leader who has the consistency to get it done is a leader worthy to follow. Hello, my friend, and welcome to this solo episode of A Call to Leadership. I'm so glad you're with me. My name is Dr. Nate Sala. I'm a part-time professor. I am a full-time entrepreneur, coach, leader, family man, member of my faith community. And we started this podcast just so we can invest in you, go from one to many and make a difference. And hopefully we're making a difference in someone's life today as we unpack leadership, what it means, what it can do in a life, and how to follow in perpetuity and serve well as a leader. So here we are. This episode is an episode that's just one off. I wanted to share these epic fails in leadership. And I did a study recently, and it was just a quick message that I sent out is, what is the number one failure of leaders? And seeing on social media, what kind of responses I got? And they were fairly consistent. There were some that were anomalies, but the majority of them focused on very specific areas of leadership. For example, here, I'm just going to read some of them. One was failure to empower others. So a failure to give others power to do their best possible work. So my philosophy is, and I learned this from one of our guests on the show, Rob Cujo Teschner, who is a retired fighter pilot. He says that his philosophy, military philosophy, is centralized command, decentralized execution. And so empowering others gives us an opportunity to decentralize execution, but you can't just empower others unless you first train them up to perform at their highest possible level. So empowerment starts with you as a leader preparing your people to be empowered. I love that one. Here's another one, lack of compassion. Lack of compassion, boy, that's a tough one, right? This is a lack of caring for the needs of your followers, right? So when someone is ill or someone has some kind of challenge or issue or a roadblock that they're facing, do you have compassion for them? Do you look at them and say, how can I understand and help you along your journey? I've not always had compassion. I've thought people should just suck it up. And maybe that's because that's how I grew up. And I learned later, wow, you know, it's better to be a person of compassion, to see in some ways people need you. They need help. Sometimes the help is just a listening ear. Sometimes the help is clearing a roadblock. Sometimes the help, I have compassion. Sometimes the help is freeing their future in an employment environment. Sometimes it's falling on your own sword as a leader and recognizing that you made an error in bringing someone on the team and having enough compassion for them not to string them along or to have too much self-pity for making that decision and have the difficult conversation, what we call crucial conversations. And that's having compassion for someone to be honest. And so that's an area of compassion. Of course, there's all different ways to have compassion, but that is a failure of leadership. And when we don't show care and compassion for others, then it just sends a signal that they're not important. Here's one. Clear communication. Wow. I mean, come on. The essence and the heart of leadership is communication. We must communicate effectively. We must communicate clearly, because clarity is power. And so when we're talking about clear communication, what we're talking about is not causing confusion in our communication. And here's the thing about communication. It's not talking down to people. It's not belittling them. It is a means of exchange of ideas. So let's talk that through. It's a means of exchange. So it's not just communication isn't one way. It's two ways. And so communication is listening, speaking, understanding. Communication isn't just with our mouths, it's our body language. Have you ever met someone with body language that was communicating that they were standoffish, right? Have you ever seen anyone fold their arms and kind of push back a little bit? Not that that's always the case, but that's a closed perspective. Or when you're shaking someone's hand, you ever shake someone's hand and they turn their hand inward as if overpowering, right? Or, you know, slightly outward rather than just a straight handshake. Or maybe the handshake was really firm, maybe overly firm, right? Those are methods of communication. So all of those are aspects of how we approach people and what their perception is of us. How about a smile? Is that communication? I try to smile when I meet someone. I try to give them eye contact and remember their name. This was just in a previous episode. We talked about the care that you have in remembering someone's name and repeating that name, communicating it back when you first meet someone. That shows that you've taken the effort to associate them, remember their name. So actually, I've not always been good at this, but I started using what I just said, association, to try to remember people's names. So as soon as someone says their name, I'll associate it with someone that has the same name or some kind of an aspect of it. And it's actually worked really well. For example, when I used to work out at a specific gym, I met a guy who his name was associated with, not that he looked like this person, but he reminded me of the mascot of Toys R Us. And Jeffrey, the mascot at Toys R Us. And so his name is Jeffrey. And he was just kind of jovial and he was lighthearted. And I thought, oh, you know what? So is Jeffrey at Toys R Us. And then when I saw him again, I remembered, oh, shoot, what is his name? Oh, let me think here. Toys R Us, that's right, Jeffrey. Hey, Jeffrey, good to see you again. Now, did I say that to him? I think I might have, actually, now that I think about it. And silly as it is. But what does that mean? That means that I've actually taken the time to lock your name in, whatever method I've used to recall. It's simply a way to say, you matter. And that clear communication, the you matter communication, creates a connection. And really, that's as far as leadership and followership goes, connection is one of the most essential aspects of the deep relationships that come out of worthy causes that leaders and followers share in. So that's another one. Here's one. Genuine care and understanding of less capable people than the leader himself. Wow. That's a mouthful. Genuine care and understanding of less capable people than the leader himself. So this goes back in some ways to compassion, right? It's an aspect of it. So you may be a leader and you may have followers who perhaps do not carry the same skill sets as you. Maybe they're not as capable in the areas that you're capable of. And how do you treat them? I think that's what this individual is saying. How do you treat these individuals? Do you treat them with respect? Do you treat them with dignity? Do you treat them with care? Do you understand their situation? Do you groom them and help them to rise to a higher level rather than be condescending, be demeaning, be arrogant, be haughty? We talked about that when we talked about our humility episode a few episodes back in our solo series on servant leadership. How about this one? Talking down to employees and not being consistent. Two things, right? Number one, talking down to employees. There's no need to ever do that. Treat everyone with a high level of dignity. And we just kind of mentioned that with this last one. And be consistent in that. You know, consistency and trust go hand in hand. Consistency is one attribute of trust. We're going to have an entire series on trust. Because if you're consistent in your behavior, then people know what to expect. If you're inconsistent, people don't know what to expect. And that creates a level of distrust. So, for example, in my practice, people know consistently that Nate will get the job done. Sometimes it takes longer than others because I may be busy. But if I commit to something, I will be consistently completing the kind of work that I vow to complete, which is one of the people that responded said follow through, which is an aspect of consistency and trustworthiness. Leaders who don't follow through are leaders who have very little trustworthiness. Think about it. Think about it. Have you ever followed someone? Have you ever had a leader, whether it's in a home or in a business, and they can't get things done. You know, one of the aspects, if you listen to the very first episode on leadership, it was what is leadership? And I define leadership. And I define leadership as leadership is the discovery of, influence toward, and achievement of at least effective leadership of shared purpose. So the discovery of, influence toward, and achievement of shared purpose. So what does this mean? Leaders who achieve are leaders who follow through. You don't want to follow someone who just can't get there. Just can't get there. Now, are some destinations, do they take longer than others? Are there roadblocks? Yes. But the leader who follows through, who has the consistency to get it done, is a leader possibly worthy to follow. Here's another one. Developing a culture that inspires. Boy, that's a good one. We're going to do an entire series also on culture, on purpose and meaning and mission, vision, values, developing a culture that inspires. Think about your leadership journey. And I think about when I started in the accounting business, I didn't really have anything, any idea of what culture was. I didn't know what inspiration was. I just wanted to make money. I wanted to get paid. And over time, I began to realize the power of inspiration. And inspiration is built into your idea of vision, of values, of mission. If your vision is inspiring, where do you want to go as a leader? I always try to ask two questions at least. Do I know where I'm going, and do others want to go there with me? If you think about your leadership as an actual ship, and you want to go on an excursion, on a journey, and on this journey, you want to go to a place that is exciting, is attractive, is better than the current state, that inspires people to get on that ship, that's meaningful, that's impactful and important, not just to you, but to them even more so. So that when you have challenges that come up, and perhaps people don't understand, you don't say, you know, you do this because I said so. No, you do this because you're so inspired by the destination that we're going to together, because it's important to you. In fact, a scholar, Bert Nannis, said that there is no more powerful engine driving an organization toward excellence and long-range success than an attractive, worthwhile, and achievable vision of the future widely shared. Now, I'm not going to quote that because I believe that I might have transposed a couple of those lines from memory. But break that down. Attractive, worthwhile, achievable vision of the future. But what's the important piece? Widely shared. That's powerful, friends. This is where inspiration blossoms. And our leadership, maybe it's an epic fail because we didn't develop that, but we can turn that around. And then what that does is that becomes the rationale. That becomes the reason that motivates people to achieve far greater than we ever thought possible. So that's a good one. How about this one? Not adapting and growing, not being open to change. Yeah, that would be an epic fail of leadership. Not adapting and growing and not being open to change. My friend, you've heard this if you've been listening to the show. If we don't need change, we don't need leaders. Because leadership is change. Think about it. Because we're moving into a new place. If we don't need to go anywhere, we don't need leaders. We just stay put. But adapting and growing is giving. So we have to be growing as leaders. And not only that, we have to perpetuate growing and adaptation in an environment that we are in. So how are we cultivating it? Well, first of all, we have to be open to change. And innovation is change. It doesn't have to be disruptive. I've said this before. It can be incremental. But it has to be progress. That's leadership. In fact, burnout is the opposite of progress. People begin to burn out when they believe that there is no progress and there's no possibility for progress. But change and progress go hand in hand, and we have to be open to it, but we also have to be mindful that change is difficult for a lot of people. And so we've got to have the right metrics in place to create change. And we'll talk about that in depth. All right, here's another one. Let me find a really good one to wrap it up. Not embracing their failures. Wow. I tend to look at it like this, and you may have heard me say this. Failure is not final. It's feedback. It's only final when you give up. You know, failure is all part of the playbook. You're going to fail. I think it might have been Warren Buffett that said, if you've gone through your entire life not having failed, you're just not trying hard enough. So failures to me are requisite. They're necessary because they're confirmation that I've exhausted this path and this method and it didn't work. Now, there's all kinds of failures. There's failures that are okay in a business, and then there's failures that are catastrophic. In fact, it was Elon Musk that said that failure is irrelevant unless it's catastrophic. I repeat that. Failure is irrelevant unless it's catastrophic. And I remember hearing him say that in an interview, and I had to simmer on that for a little bit. And he was in relationship to innovation because he has innovative companies. And I thought about it. I thought, you know, he's right. He's right. Unless it's catastrophic. And what is catastrophic? I guess you have to define it. Catastrophic to me would be there's no possibility of rebounding. There's no possibility of coming back from it. But if there's a possibility from coming back from it, then it is irrelevant. Now you say, well, what if it takes you like 30 years to come back from a failure? I mean, you can make an argument that that would be too long. But in his case, with the type of innovation that he does, and the world-changing innovation, you might consider that, no, even if it takes 30 years to come back, as long as I've made it back and I've excelled and I've pushed the human condition forward, then no, it is irrelevant. But it's so important to look at our failures not as finality. It's so important to look at our failures as feedback. In fact, there's companies who are able to capitalize on failures and actually turn them into a huge win. And I think that's remarkable and noble. So let's just do one more. How about it? This is a really good one. Not using your help to their full potential. In other words, those who work for you, those who are your followers, not allowing their full potential to be maximized. And friend, I can't stress enough the opportunities that we have to help elevate people to their highest possible abilities. And sometimes it's by clearing roadblocks. Sometimes it's by challenging our people. Steve Jobs used to always ask his people, they bring something to him and he would ask, is that your very best? And if they're being honest, they would say no. And he would ask them to go back, come back with your very best. And they would do amazing things. It's remarkable what people can do that's just beyond what they think they can do. Now you have to be careful and not misuse their potential or cause them to stumble in ways that impedes their progress. But I think that we have to call people out and give them opportunities to express their full potential. Put them in their genius zone. I have a philosophy where I want all my people to work in their genius zone. So what I do is I do a survey, a predictive index survey, to find out what their drives are, where they're strongest. And I want to put them in that seat and let them flourish and have conversations with them so that they understand where they can go and I understand how to help them get there. And it's amazing the kind of output we get. It's amazing the kind of results we get. It's amazing the kind of fulfillment people have when they're doing their best possible work in an area that they absolutely love. And if you're not doing that today, or if you're not in that today, it's not too late. It's still time. There's still possibility. But as leaders, to help people reach their full potential, to me, is a mark of excellence. So there you have it. There's some epic leadership fails and how we can turn that around into successes. I hope you enjoyed this mini episode. A little filler between series. The next series you have to check out. It's going to be amazing. We're going to talk about some categories, some characteristics of leadership that will take your leadership to the next level. I can't wait to join you. Well, my friend, I am so thrilled that you joined me on this episode of A Call to Leadership. And before you go to the next episode, especially if you're binge listening, take a moment. I would love to get your honest review right here on your screen. Your feedback is so important. It helps the podcast. It encourages me, and it helps me. It helps me to give you more and more and more value. So I can't wait to read your review. I can't wait to be with you on the next episode. I'm Dr. Nate Salla. This is A Call to Leadership.